We'll take your Bibles, turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to finish up this week on this thought about being lost. And my emphasis wasn't on the lost as far as not being saved. I'm talking about Christian people can lose things. They can lose their testimony. They can lose their direction. They can lose their way. Happens all the time. And we kind of address some things. I'm going to look at all the things we looked at. Things that cause us to lose our way. And we looked at pride and covetousness, which is idolatry. We looked at the failure to do God's word because of covetousness. We looked at idolatry or self-worship. We look at sloth, laziness. And over in the book of Proverbs, we looked at King David, how King David had taken and laid there in his bed till the afternoon, and he should have been out in the battle. And look how sloth moved. And the thing you could look at sloth, whenever you're giving yourself over to laziness or slothfulness, you're giving in to your flesh. And boy, right after we find that fornication is very often associated with this thing of idolatry, which is selfishness. We also see that fornication was attached to itself. Many times you find where you find slothfulness, you'll find adultery and fornication. Where you find pride, you find oftentimes adultery and fornication. And we make a much ado of that, but a lot of times we don't make much ado of being lazy, being slothful. But, sin is sin. And, boy, I tell you what, it would have been easy for me to lay out in church this morning. I was tired. I woke up tired. I tell people, I'm tired about three times during the day. I'm tired when I get up. I'm tired as I work all day. And I'm tired when I go home and lay down at night. It seemed like I just stay tired. And then, what people told me? They said, it's because you're getting old. I said, I ain't getting old. I feel like I'm already old. And it ain't the years, it's the mileage. And I've been rode hard and put up wet several times. But also we looked in, now we've been looking at this, and I'm going to finish up with this today. I tell you what, we could study this one thing, I believe, for a year and never wear it out, having to do with this strange woman. Every problem you find is happening in our churches today has to do with her, that strange woman. And you can find her all through the Bible. And especially over in the book of Proverbs, and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapters 5. We'll start reading there in Proverbs chapter 5. Let me find my way here. Sorry I come in late. The bus got back a little bit late this morning, and I'm kind of getting my head back in gear. In Proverbs chapter 5, I'm again reading verse 1. It says, my son, attend in my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil. And people want that. They want that, prophesied to us smooth things, they said over in the book of Jeremiah. And, buddy, they're that way today. Look, they'll say, I want to hear about love. No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't want to hear about love. They want to hear smooth things. Love is not smooth. Love is tough. You don't get no harder preaching than if you're going to preach love. I'm going to tell you that right now. You say, the Bible said God demonstrated or commendeth. That word commendeth means He showed forth or demonstrated His love for us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Died. He died for our sins. And buddy, you want to see where He demonstrated His love? Go to the cross. Now, love is tough. Love, if true love, comes with a price and consequences. If you're going to love somebody, you're opening yourself up to pain. If you're going to love people, you're going to have to deal with this thing of pain and problems and trouble. Real love. And but they say preaching to a smooth thing. They don't want really hear about love. They want their idea of what love. I remember years ago preaching in Methodist Church down there in Mount Pleasant. And that's what we looked at. We looked at that thing about love. I said, you know, the majority of people wouldn't know love if it walked up and kissed them in the face. They don't know what love is. They used to this Hollywood. They talk about falling in love. Like you can just walk along, just trip, and here I am, I'm in love, you know, just by accident. Love ain't like that. Love is something you do on purpose. It's connected to your will. And the Bible said, and you want to know when you know how to love? Is when you take the person who has treated you the worst, and you treat him with the best. Jesus said, love your enemies. And buddy, when old Judas come around and kissed him on the cheek, said, wherefore art thou come, friend? He reached out to him with love. And the Bible said, we're to respond to evil with good. And love. True love. True love, guys. I mean, I'm going to tell you what. I knew my mama loved me best when she was taking a stick to me. She was trying to keep me out of trouble, Brother Ernest. You know? She cared about me. She didn't want me to mess up. And I know they lie. They tell you it's going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. I know better than that. I punished my children. I hurt them a whole lot more than it hurt me. But it did hurt me here. But, I mean, you know, my mama, I knew when she wore me out. So, love is a tough thing. But she'll say, she teach smooth things, you know. You know, God's a God of love. He won't punish you. There's not going to be no, just don't worry about it. It's going to be good. It's all good. You know what I mean? God understands. You know. Slipping off into secret and doing things. And no, God understands, all right. They right about that. God does understand. He knows exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. You're the one that don't understand. And you go listen to this woman, you're going to lack understanding. And she'll lead you off into darkness and blindness, and next thing you know, you'll be lost. Now, look at what all the... He said right here. He says, but the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Now, look, the thing you got to understand about hell there in the Old Testament, hell had two parts. Hell had two parts of it. Hell means place of the dead. In the Greek, I ain't into the Hebrew and Greek, but in the Greek they got a different. What's the name of it? You know, that was actually that's Hebrew. Sheol's Hebrew. Gehenna is one word, and then there's another one. I can't think of it right now. In the Greek, they use for the. It actually means the place of the dead. Everybody in the Old Testament, except they were translated up to heaven. They went into Sheol or into hell. But hell had two parts. It had a place of torment. Then it had Abraham's bosom. But now when Abraham's bosom was taken out, there wasn't one part left of hell. That's all down there now. Huh? Hades. In the Greek. But anyway, it had two parts. But now it don't. Now it only has one part, and that's torments. Because it's been taken out. When Jesus Christ went in, we know He resurrected. He led captivity captive, and He took them up on high. He died for their sins. They couldn't go to heaven because of their sins. Jesus had to pay for their sins. He made a way. He opened the door and took them out. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad we don't have to go there and wait like the Catholics think. You know, huh? We don't have to go to purgatory and wait till we get our sins purged from us. They've been purged one time by the blood of Christ, amen. But that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. That's that strange woman, you see. And that strange woman, she'll tell you everybody's going to be saved. You know? Everybody's going to be saved. I mean, you might have to suffer some things. You might have to go into purgatory. You might have to do this. You might have to do that. But everybody eventually is going to be saved, you know? That's a lie out of hell. It's a lie of the devil. God never said that. God never said that. He said it's your choice. He made a way. And He gives everybody the opportunity. Hey, I mean, Jesus Christ, the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. But everybody has a right. You can listen to Christ, or you can listen to this strange woman. And it says right here, "Fear not therefore, O you children, depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel." So, I mean, she's pulling down, she can pull down many a Christian, and you can lose your testimony. You can actually lose your life. There have been a lot of God's young has died prematurely for listening to this strange woman. Get caught off into fornication and adultery and all manners of wickedness that she'll promote. Look also over here, Proverbs, excuse me, turn to Proverbs chapter 6, just a few verses over there. We're going to begin reading. In verse 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to Him." Well, God's a God of love. He don't hate. What did we just read right here? "These six things doth the Lord hate." We're going to look at, in our next study, we're going to go through the book of Job, and we're going to look at enduring hardness. Job had to go through some things. And he's a believer. And we're going to go through some things. And we're going to look at some things that we're going to have to endure hardness about. And that's right over in Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier, amen? Well, you know, this woman's going to say, it's going to be all right. It's going to be smooth sailing. Once you get saved, all your problems is over. It's going to be, that's when my problem started. I know that the way of the transgressor is hard. It's going to end up, before I got saved, it was easy living. It wasn't hard. I could just do whatever I wanted to. I never felt bad about it. I never felt bad about doing wrong. You know, as long as I didn't make nobody mad at me or anything, it was okay. Didn't feel bad about drinking and smoking and, you know, doing what everybody else did. But when I got saved, when I did wrong, what come along with it? Huh? Conviction. And everybody was so understanding when I got saved. They was all on my side, Brother Rick. They was all like, "That is great. You got saved to go in and went to work." Told them, "Yeah, I got saved this past weekend." They were all like, "Really? That is great. That is wonderful." No, they all looked at me like, "What? You got what? I got saved." One old boy told him, he said, "Don't worry about it. It won't last. It'll go by." He said, "I don't know." He says, "I don't think so." I said, I don't think it's going to blow over. Yeah. Praise God, it didn't. God, every time I wanted it to, I'll be honest. There's some times it got so rough, I wanted to go back. I said, this is what being saved is all about. I don't know. Because everybody was against me. Even people that were saved thought I done went off the deep end. Huh? Yeah, exactly right. You ain't got to be no fanatic about it. You know? I said, oh, funny thing, when the Super Bowl comes around, a bunch of y'all fanatics, amen. Huh? You know, spring of the year is coming on, won't be long, buddy. These old Duke Boat, these old Carolina fans around here be going crazy, and these Duke Blue Devil fans, and huh?
How you looking,
baby? Everybody's gonna pick on you for that, of course. Anyway, some of them get plumb fanatical about it. You know, all I knew is I was lost, and I was under a burden, Brother Rick. I wasn't like a lot of people. Once you get saved, boy, all that weight falls off of you. Everything's great. That ain't the way it was for me. God started putting some weight on me. I got under a burden. I got to worrying about. I got to worrying about my family. I got concerned about my family, the people I worked with, people I used to run around with. You say, well, I didn't get that. Well, maybe you didn't get what I got. Because when I got saved, one of the first things that was on my heart was my children and my wife. I wanted to know for sure. And then it was my extended family, my grandparents, and my cousins, and my uncles, and my nieces. And then there was the people I worked with and my friends. I was concerned about how I behaved myself at work. I was under a burden. But she, you know, that strange woman said, "Hey, don't stir up nothing. Go along. Speak smooth things. You just tell them, oh God is a God of love. It's all going to be work out. You just go down there and you be a good Baptist. You be a good Methodist. You be a good Lutheran. You be a good Presbyterian. That's all that matters. Hey, I mean, there's many ways, you know. No, there ain't. There's one way. One way. One way. Anyway, it says, see six things that the Lord hates: a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. And I don't care if you're saved, I don't care if you're lost, God hates these things in anybody. I've seen church members, and I know that they were saved. They're some of the worst gossips I've ever met in my life. And meddling in everybody's business in the church. Just because they didn't come up to their... They just ain't holy enough. They ain't separated enough. How separated you got to be? I've been translated from death unto life by God's dear Son. I'm as separated as I can possibly be in the spirit. But now I'm carrying around this dead carcass, and every one of us has got problems with. And some of us are going to be doing a little bit better with it than others, huh? Some of us just doing a little bit better with it than others, and they are. It's like Brother Steve was talking about. He said, if you don't smell some tobacco in the baptistry every now and then, a church ain't where it ought to be. You say, what do you mean by that? Some of these people just got saved. They smoking, they dipping, they chewing, and some of them might even have a little bit of, on their breath from time to time. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, yeah. I get thirsty every now and then, they may say. Keep your mouth off of them. If you want to do anything, you want to say something to them, say something to Jesus first. Be there to help and edify and build up. God can take care of the rest. We don't believe that, though. We think we got to do it. Look here in Proverbs chapter 7. This way woman works. She wants to be a meddler. She wants to tell you everything's going to be all right. And then she wants you to be self-righteous, proud. You know what I mean? And you know why that is. Now you think about it. They'll say preach unto us smooth things, but they're some of the most contentious people you'll ever meet. Well, they're just a bunch of legalists. You know what I mean? When I got saved, I started putting up some walls around my family. I tried to, around my children. And you know what they told me? Well, you got to learn to trust him. I said, I don't trust me. I got to put walls up my own life. I mean, a man left to himself should be brought to shame. A child left to himself should be brought to shame. And it's not good that a man should be alone. You get a man running around out here alone, going from one meeting to another meeting, he's a doggone target. You better mark her down. He's a target. He better read this book right here. And I'm telling you who's going to... He's a little simple one. He's one of the simple ones. He's one of the brethren. You know what I mean? And he's out there. He's simple. He's being simple-minded out there walking along. And guess who come looking? Guess who's hunting for him? He said, she hunteth. She's hunting for him. I mean, the devil has got... He's on your trail. If he ain't on your trail, then you need to get some things right with God. Because when you get some things right with God and start doing what God wants you to do, you're going to be an effect in this world, and the devil is going to target you. He's coming after you. We're at war! We can't emphasize that enough. It's a war. And the enemy never takes a rest. Those that were in Vietnam, they know that. While they were back at the barracks taking a rest, they was over there digging tunnels. They were scoping out ways to get in underneath them fences and walking stuff out. The enemy was hunting for your life. And this enemy's hunting for our lives. And we're living in a society in America where we're at ease. And when you're at ease, you know what? You're a target. You're a target when you're at ease. But buddy, when you knew how much the devil wanted you, you'd get up in the morning and say, where's he at? I better get in here and I better get somebody out of this Bible to help me because he's hunting me today. He wants me. He's out to tear me asunder. God, give me wisdom. God, give me understanding. God, help me fight the battle today. In Proverbs, I got tons, so I can't go over all of them. I'm going to finish up on these two things right here. We're running out of time. Two of the things that this old harlot likes to use is traditions and philosophy. Traditions. And one of the main ways that I believe that traditions come through is through holidays. Two of the main ways that they come in. And you know, and don't take us wrong. I love holidays. I love them. But they concern me at times. And you know, and all of us know this. All of us know, to be truthful, if you be truthful, ladies really love holidays. Do they not? Huh? You know, you getting your wife anything for Valentine's? Let me take your hand. Hang on. I did. How do you break it? Too late now, huh? Okay.
You don't have to break something, you never start.
That's true. Okay. All right. But you know what I'm saying? You know, Mother's Day, Valentine's Day, all these things, you know what I'm saying? Huh? The Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel. We take it, you know, she ain't got muscles like we got. That ain't what that's talking about. The Bible said a woman ought to have power on her head because of what? Why is she supposed to have power on her head? She has long hair so that she, to show that she's under who? Who? Somebody tell me. Under who? Under her husband. Her husband. And for this cause ought a woman have power on her head because of the angels. Not God's angels. God's angels ain't going to seduce them. Whose angels? The devil's angels. Because he's hunting. He's hunting for a life. And if he can get to us through that other part of us, that's the reason why you need to be on guard for your family. You need to put some walls up there. You need to say, I'm sorry, I can't leave my children out here. They'll mess up. I got to put some walls around here. No, they can't go there. That's going to be the wrong kind of influence in their lives. I don't want them to go. Well, you don't let them do nothing. They have a lot of things they can do. There's a lot of things they can do. I want them to do the things and keep them safe. Did it work all together? To be honest with you, no. Don't work all together. They got to come to a point in their life where they make their own decisions. Huh? But the Bible says a woman ought to have power on her head. Because, and traditions, you know, we got all these holidays which bring in all kinds of traditions. I can think of a lot of things that churches do that go against the Word of God. They're direct in contrast to the Word of God. Christmas is one of those things, you know, back when I was in school, we used to sing it. We three kings of Orient are, you know. And through that, after a while, everybody associated with those kings being there at the birth of Christ. Ain't that right? Huh? You know, most people think that. You know, those kings came, you know, that night that Jesus was born, you know. First the shepherds came up, and then, and then the king showed up. And y'all put on them plays, didn't you? Did some of y'all put on them plays back in school? Okay. Is that correct teaching?
No.
And the Bible says, through your traditions you make... Yes, of none effect. Through your traditions, you make the Word of God of none effect. So what Satan tries to do, he tries to bring traditions in. How many has ever heard this? Everything rises and falls on leadership. Well, who's leading the church? Who's leading the believers? Does people fall? Do they fall into sin? Do they fall into waywardness? Do they fall? Yeah. I mean, he's not going to lose us. No, he's got us. You're right. He's not going to lose us. He's got us. There's no doubt about that. But he's leading. But do we always follow like we should?
No.
No problem with the leadership, is he? The problem is with the followership. Everything rises and follows from followership. Jesus, Him Christ, follows. What did He come to teach? He come to teach us to be a leader, Brother Rick? No. He come to teach us to be a minister. And ministers follow the one who's given the ministry. Jesus always did those things that please the Father. The Holy Spirit was leading Him. He always did what the Holy Spirit did. Everything rises and falls on followership. And He taught us to be followers. Our apostle said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Jesus says, "Follow me as I follow my Father." You see what I'm saying? But we teach everything rises and follows on leadership. And next thing you know, everybody's trying to be a leader instead of trying to teach people to be followers. We say there's no big I's and no big U's. But man, I hear a lot about big I's. I've been into a lot of conferences, boy. And they'd come in there and they'd get them up there back slapping. Boy, you know, God is just really using this man. And boy, and God's given him a great ministry. God didn't give him nothing. He gave His Son. And he's supposed to give himself to Jesus. And Jesus takes his body and goes to work. Amen. I know I'm a nut. That's okay. But tradition teaches us these kind of things. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 15. I'll show you we'll look at how this tradition works in Matthew 15. See, Jesus, He didn't go along with the status quo. You know what they said? He was a nut. They said He was crazy. They said He was filled with the devil. They said He was all these things. Why? Because He didn't teach like they did. They taught that you be a good leader and make people follow you. Jesus said, "You follow me as I follow my Father. You follow God." Look here in Matthew 15. Excuse me. Begin reading in verses 2. "So why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But He answered and said to them, why do you all transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your traditions." And I've heard people tell me, "You worry about other people's youngins and God will worry about yours." I can't find that in my Bible. God put the family together before He put the church together. And you're not going to honor the church if you don't honor your family. You're dishonoring to the Word of God when you let a man talk you into leaving your family behind to go do such and such and such and such. God give you family and you're to take care of it. You're to fight for it. And you do, you have a strong family, and you know what we'll have? We'll have a strong church. When we have strong families, we have strong churches. We need to teach our children and people's coming in behind us, you fight for your family. You give them what they need and the time they need. And you give your wife what she needs and the time she needs. You love on her like Christ loves on the church. They, you know, ye hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh with me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Be very careful what you're listening to that men teach. They might teach you, well, God's speaking through me. I'm the man of God. If he ain't speaking by the doctrines of this book, I'll tell you, he's a false prophet. And I don't care how big his name is. And he called the multitude and said unto him, hear and understand. Now that which goeth into the mouth, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. We need to quit worrying about what everybody eats, drinks, and start worrying about the way we treat one another, the way we treat our families. There's a lot of us, but we can throw up there. We can throw up all this kind of stuff. Do this, don't do that. And through these traditions, we can make void the Word of God. Look, turn over to the book of Mark. And he goes in a little bit deeper on this same thing in the book of Mark, chapter 7. The same group of people. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which come from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands oft, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Well, when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. I mean, after all, man, they might, you know, they were messing around with those dirty heathens, you know what I mean? These come from the marketplace. I mean, they're sinners over there. Touching them dirty, rotten sinners. And the Pharisees, scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered, said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, as of the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. And he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God. Now you got to understand, they just talked about washing their hands. We're talking about outwardness, an outward show. I've heard people say, man, we're really proud of our young, our teens. And then they'll start talking about the way they look. Got their hair cut just right. They dressing just right. This, that, and the other thing. And some of them, less than 2 years down the road, are out. Out. And say they don't even have nothing to do with this, with the church anymore. Am I telling the truth? Something's wrong. It was an outward show. We don't want to teach our children to put on an outward show. We need something that touches the heart. And I believe that is the Word of God in truth. I believe it had all the power to make the difference in people's lives. We just give the Word of God. Try to keep it as pure as possible. So, traditions, Colossians chapter 2. Well, let me finish reading this. Okay. That you may keep your own truth. For Moses said, honor thy father and mother, whosoever curses father and mother, let him die to death. But you say, if a man shall say to his father and mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mayest be profited by them, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and much such like things do ye. And when he had called all the people, he said, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man. You see, the problem is got to get this man, got to get a new man in there. Amen? They got to be born of God. Getting them dressing right and acting, you know, acting like we want them to, and like the preacher said many times. He said, I knew how to come to church. I knew how to carry a King James Bible. I knew how to keep my hair cut just right. I knew how to dress. I knew how to talk when I was at church. I did all those things. But he had one thing thou lackest. You must be saved. You must be born of God. And our young people need to know that you can't associate how you look, how you act, with being born again. They got to understand that it is a relationship that you know about when it happens. I was dead. I can remember when I was dead. I remember when I was found. And the last one, I want to look at, it's only found one time in one verse, but its teaching is all through the Bible, which is philosophy. Everybody's got one. I'm praying about this. I want some more teachers in this class besides me. I don't want you to lean on what Brother David is teaching. I want you to lean on what his word's teaching, and we need good men to stand up here and teaching the word of God and being more than one person they're hearing from. And I want to have every Sunday school class here. I do. That's what I'd like to see. Because I don't trust me. I got a philosophy. I got a way I think. I wish I could do something about it, but we all got it. And the Bible says, lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, he shall direct thy path. But as much as we try, I'm afraid that I understand the Word of God sometimes according to my own understanding. You understand what I'm saying? The fear. And the fear that ought to be on every teacher and every preacher? That he can die to himself and let it be the Holy Spirit that moves and guides each service and each time that the Word of God is being taught. But over in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 6, you'll find that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 6. What? There ain't no chapter 6. Wait a minute, what am I doing here? Oh my goodness. I wrote it down wrong. Maybe it's 3:6. Nope. Oh man, I done lost it. Wrote it down wrong. I don't think so. No, I don't think it is, because I wrote it down. The word's only found once. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry. I'll bring it. We'll read it next week. And here it is. Now command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh. I'm sorry. It's Colossians 2:8. It was 2 Thessalonians 3:6, but it's a different. It had more to do with tradition. In Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verses 8. Begin reading in verse 7, six. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, which is the Word of God. When you ever see that word, the faith, it's talking about the Word of God. If it's the faith of Christ, it is, say, the faith of the Son of God. If it's the faith that the Word of God creates in you, it'll say your faith. So this here, when it says the faith, it's talking about establishing the faith of the Word of God as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now that's what every man does, that which is right in his own eyes. And when you get the man Christ Jesus in you, that's when you learn how to follow after God and follow after Christ. That's what we need. We need to quit leaning to our own understanding, our philosophy, and that old harlot, she's out there, she will try to appeal to your vanity, to your way of thinking. And I'm going to tell you something, if everything's going your way, it probably ain't going right. Brother Calvin, will you pray for us this morning?